The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and the Week in Comics. This week, a little rough one here for DC. Obviously, that's at the front of everybody's mind. But there's some fun stuff we talk about this week, too. We have listener comments, of course, news out of The Witcher, a New Mutants announcement, Hulu, we get into some rumors, X-Men, Spider-Man 3 rumors, even a Stranger Things rumor. Plus, plenty of books, a bunch of other stuff. We just have a blast hanging out. Tangents galore, I'm sure. Let's find out. Let's get into the store. Hey, John, how's it hanging?
Low, man. Low. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The look on your face was priceless.
Yeah. You get me every week with something.
I'm trying.
That's the oldest joke in the book, though, so I was quick with the comeback there.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's start off with low. Let's get right at it. What's going on? DC, layoffs. I mean,
you know as much as I do at this point.
I know.
You know, there hasn't been any industry announcements. So, you know, I read the same articles that everybody else has read. You know, Warner Brothers went through a huge restructuring over like 2 days ago, I believe now, and it affected a lot of people at DC. Jim Lee is no longer the publisher.
Is that true? I heard that was redacted.
Well, the article I read had that stated. I mean, if it's...
Yeah, I read that too, redacted, and then I read another article that took that back that said he was still there.
I mean, he's still with the company.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know. It says... The article I have says editor-in-chief Bob Harris was laid off and Jim Lee was removed from his publishing role. It didn't say that he was no longer with the company, just that he was not going to be. It says his new role is to act as a liaison between DC and other brands of Warner Media. So the Geoff Johns role, I guess.
Okay.
Because that's what Geoff Johns was supposed to be doing. But yeah, this affected, you know, a ton of people in the DC division. I mean, it affected the whole company, but all we care about is comic books. So I don't know what it means, though, for us. Like I said, we only know what you guys know. I'm sure that there'll be some kind of statement or announcement to come probably to us first.
Yeah.
But you never know. You know, these things break. A lot of times we get our news from the internet just like everybody else. DC has not been well, you know what? We'll find out like late Friday afternoon about 3:30.
Did you see that's when everybody found out at work at DC?
Yeah.
They announced it Friday, of course.
Yep.
And I chuckled at that with all your latest news coming out on Fridays.
Yeah, Fridays is the day.
I was talking with Ernie this morning at Friendly Neighborhood, and he was saying that there's going to be cut back on books. Like, they're going to start limiting, getting rid of some of the lesser titles and stuff.
That's already been in the works. Like,
right.
Over the last few months, you've seen, like, Batgirl, Supergirl, I think Young Justice, some of the Justice League titles, they've all been ending anyways. But yeah, I would imagine that they will go to a more streamlined approach. The thing that has me the most nervous is that they're talking about bringing somebody in to run the company that is from outside of doesn't know anything about comic books, you know?
Right.
And that's always scary. Because, you know, they're just going to come in and they're going to have a million ideas on how to streamline things and without knowing anything about how comic book publishing works. And that, you know, that's got a lot of us a little worried. But yeah, I would imagine a restructuring of the line is coming. You know, this is all on the heel. Here's the biggest thing that I can't really wrap my head around. Is that, you know, the biggest reason given for this is obviously slumping sales from DC. And that, you know, the sales were not recovered with their move to other distributors. Now, I don't understand how their move to other distributors was supposed to increase sales in the first place, because regardless of who's distributing the books, it's not going to result in an increase of sales from the consumers. But the other part is, like, I don't know how you look in the, like, the climate we're in right now, like, I don't know how you can base anything on slumping sales. Now, sales were slumping before the pandemic, arguably, but, like, right now, everybody's sales are slumping. Like, no publishing company is thriving, so.
Nobody is, right.
I can't see that as being,
That's exactly what I said to Ernie this morning, is I've read multiple articles saying how, and they weren't saying this from, like, DC was saying this, but everybody's speculating that, oh, the coronavirus is really taking its toll here, and this. I don't think the virus really has anything to do with this.
It can't.
Because how fragile was DC or Warner Brothers before that? You know what I mean? It's like, if the virus decimated them to this point, maybe it's a tiny factor, but no, I don't buy it. You don't revamp your entire company because of a 3-month layoff.
Yeah, the seeds for this were being laid well before Corona, I believe.
Right.
Like, we saw it with Dan DiDio being let go, and
January, February.
Yeah, some of this stuff was on the horizon. Like, we'd kind of been hearing rumblings of this before the virus. So I think the timing of it just makes everybody want to point back to the coronavirus. Like everything else. Because, like, I can't imagine that,
sniffles.
Like you said,
must be the virus.
You can't have a knee-jerk reaction to slumping sales in the middle of a global pandemic. It would almost be something akin to Disney wanting you to pay $30 for a rental and then $7 a month for
to keep
their
it.
Service. Yeah, to keep it forever. like Mulan is going to cost me $9,000 over my lifetime.
I hate to go on the tangent in the middle of the DC thing, but I got the email today.
Yeah.
And if it said buy now, I almost would have clicked it, because I'm intrigued by that entire process. And
you don't even care about the movie.
I couldn't care less about the movie itself, other than the home theater part of it and, like, watching it in my home. And maybe me and my family will watch it. But I want to see what the process is like, because it's the first one. To me, it's kind of historical. It's $30, whatever. At the end of the day, I've spent far more on worse. So,
no doubt. I spent more than that on alcohol at the restaurant the other day.
I'll probably spend more on the alcohol to watch it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and like you said, not to go off on a tangent away from the DC thing, because the DC thing is important. Can't think it's the knee. Like I said, I don't think this is a knee jerk reaction in response to COVID, like a lot of the articles are saying. I think this was in the works, you know, right from the beginning. You know, when Time Warner or AT&T took over Warner, you don't take over a company without plans to restructure or make improvements.
Right.
If you don't have those plans in place, why are you doing it, you know, in the first place? So I think that the seeds were laid a long time ago, but it's just unfortunate.
What do you think of the idea that Corona delayed it?
It may have. I mean, it may have delayed it, or like I said, it might have accelerated it to a certain degree.
Could have, yeah.
Because it's like, you know what? Yes, this was going to happen anyways, so let's just pull the Band-Aid off now.
Let them bleed out.
You know, and as well documented as my frustration with DC has been, thank you, I couldn't think of the word, over the last
I could see the frustration
so,
on your face.
You know, as much as I was, like I said, unhappy with DC, I feel for all of these people that are losing their jobs in the middle of this. Because, again, we are in the middle of a pandemic. Like, what is there a worse time to lose your job? Like, where are you going to go find work now?
Right.
Nobody's looking to bring on senior level publishers right now. So, you know, it's really unfortunate for them.
We have an opening in the marketing department.
again, as much as my frustration with DC has been, I don't pin it on any of those people that just lost their jobs. Again, no. This is all AT&T. Like, AT&T are the evil overlords behind all of these things happening at DC.
Yeah, but this happens with a ton of companies.
Right, it does. And again, all the time. Like I said, when you take over a company, you know, we should expect some of this stuff to happen.
Yep.
Because again, they're all about the bottom line. If you buy a company, you buy it to make money. And if DC, the publishing arm of DC, is not holding its weight, then they're going to look at that hard and see what needs to happen to make it pull its weight. Now, I would argue that a lot of the things they've done were not the way to help them pull their weight, but and I would also argue that it has caused a decrease in their sales because of so many retailers being frustrated and not wanting to carry their product. So it's had the opposite effect of what they intended. But you know, like I said, at the heart of it all is AT&T. So you can't really fault the people at DC that are in the trenches and are trying to make it better every day and that really love comics. Because
right.
I don't think they were responsible for any of these decisions. So I do feel for every one of them there that, you know, found themselves suddenly out of a job. So
yeah. Yeah, that sucks for anybody. Yes. What do you think of this idea? Ernie had the idea that maybe they would start selling out their characters, like licensing them out to other, you know, to some of the indie books and stuff, like IDW take on Batman or something like that. Or I don't know, maybe not as big. I think that's the one he said. I don't know if it was IDW, but he was like, imagine that. And I was like, oh, but Batman? He goes, what do you care? It's a Batman book. You'll be happy, you know? And
right,
then he cited the times it's happened in the past.
But I think that they're so lucrative to the media arm, you know, that they would never want to give up Batman. Like, you could see how disastrous it was for Marvel, who did that back in the 90s.
Right.
Like, look at all the I mean, they had to buy Fox to get the X-Men back. You know what I mean? Like, they are feeling the frustration of not having these characters.
Can you license out the comic character and keep the rights for movie purposes and stuff?
Well, I mean, I guess you can write a contract any way you want to. So I suppose you could do that.
Because I've heard that rumor that they wanted to, like, license or get rid of the comics. The rumor was get rid of the comics and just keep the, you know, the DCEU. And
yeah,
keep the,
I mean,
characters
at the end of the day,
that, but
at the end of the day, I don't care who publishes a Batman comic as long as I get a Batman comic. So
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't care if it was IDW. I wouldn't care if it was Marvel. You know,
that was going to be
DC
my next
logo.
Question.
It's just that you don't want to lose those characters.
That was going to be my last question to wrap it all up. Is like, how close do you think that thing that we've all been talking about since even we were kids, like them getting together?
I don't think ever, because
really
there's no way that Disney would buy the publishing arm of DC and not have the rights to the movie. Like, the only incentive for them to buy Batman is if they can make Batman movies,
right?
Like, I don't think DC or I mean I don't sorry I don't think Disney has any interest in publishing a Batman comic. They would have all kinds of interest in owning the Batman movie rights. So
it's all or nothing.
Warner Brothers
think?
Would, I think it would be all or nothing with Marvel. Now, that might be different with an IDW or Boom or somebody, because they'd be happy just to get the publishing portion and they wouldn't be as concerned about the movie rights. But somebody like Disney, it's all or nothing, I think. There's no way they take the publishing. And I don't see Warner's giving that part of it up. Like, they may not want
to
do comics
anymore,
love
to
but
have...
they still want to be in the Batman business.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Definitely want that. So,
but that would be
it's
so
really
great
interesting
to have that page turn and have, like, say, Spider-Man there.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Like, yes, I mean, it's a comic nerd's dream to have all of them under one roof and be able to, you know, appear in comic books together. You know, there's nobody that wouldn't want that, but the two corporations fighting each other, I don't think there's any way that happens. I mean, Warner Brothers would have to sell out altogether to Disney. And I mean, Disney has the money, you know, and I'm sure they can make an attractive offer.
Yeah, but I don't think Warner Brothers.
But I don't, you know, yeah. I was really happy that Disney bought Fox because I wanted them to get the X-Men back. But I mean, we've already seen some of the negative aspects of it. And I just don't want, like, I don't want to live in the world where Disney owns everything, you know?
No. No, because like, you want the competition. Some kinda,
right. There has to be some healthy competition. And, you know, there's already parts of the Fox franchise or name or whatever that are just disappearing. And, you know, everything's being eroded into Disney. And now they're making decisions that affect all kinds of things. You know, like I sent you a text the other day, and we're not going to get into this big time because it's not a home theater podcast. But, you know, Disney stopping production on 4K Blu-rays. I mean, that affects not only Disney, but it affects Marvel and Star Wars and all the Fox properties.
It actually doesn't affect those ones because if you read the articles, it explicitly says not talking about Marvel or Star Wars. It's only like older back catalog stuff they're not going to start producing. Like, I think like Fight Club might have been one of them. For instance, right? Like that's a movie that not really going to get a 4K right any time in the near future. But they did say like all the Marvel movies, especially the ones coming out in the future, Star Wars movies, all of that, those are still even Avatar, True Lies, and The Abyss. Those will all most likely be getting something in 4K sooner rather than later. It was mostly for the lesser titles is a lesser title, Fight Club, but you know what I mean.
No, but my point would be like, I just don't want them to have the power to make the decisions for every movie in existence, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, they can't be the final word.
You don't
want
a monopoly.
Everything.
That's all.
Right.
Right. Right. And that's so, pretty much, but that's.
So it would be great, you know, as a comic book reader, but like as a person that lives in the world, I don't want it. Like, I don't want Disney to buy anything else. Like they have enough, you know? So,
bats and mice we'll don't get along.
Right, they don't.
Two
play
rodents
well
in one room, not cool.
Right, no. Right.
Yeah, but it, like I said, and I don't. I agree with you. I don't think that Warner Brothers would ever give up that movie rights because what you see Netflix doing, you know, they lost Marvel. They're just trying to grab any kind of comic characters they can, comic media that they can to produce because they know. Us comic fans are just, you know, we're dying from content.
Right.
So why would Warner Brothers give up their biggest, it's probably their biggest moneymaker, consistent moneymaker.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. Like I said, there's no way they would ever.
I mean, their flopping movies are making $800 million.
Yeah. They could stop publishing comics altogether forever, but they'll never give up the movie rights to Batman.
Yeah.
So.
So, well, something to pay attention to. I like that idea. I think it would be interesting to see where they start publishing if they do start, you know, licensing out characters. Right. It could breathe new life into some of these lesser characters, especially.
It could. Yeah, it could. That'd be interesting to see. Again, I don't know if we're there yet, but hell, we don't know where we are at this point, so maybe we are.
Right.
You know.
Yep. Yep. All right. All right. Let's get to something a little more exciting. We have an iTunes review.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I saw it last week. It says, looking for a great podcast? Why, yes, I am.
Keep looking.
Yeah. Scroll on by.
Yeah.
It says, this is it. Comic books, movies, TV shows, a lot of great content. DJ and John know their stuff. Check it out. And that's from Gotham_Knight13, our buddy there. That's Bill. But thank you. We can use a few more like that, get our numbers back up, because we have a one star that amazingly disappeared from a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, scrolled away.
Yep, he's all gone. But that's cool. That was cool.
I didn't even know we had a one star, so.
You don't remember that?
No.
It's almost a year ago. Yeah, somebody changed their 5 to a 1.
Oh, really?
They changed their 5 to a 1, but the review still said we were 5 stars all day long.
Oh, yeah, I guess they decided after listening to a few more that they didn't like us after all.
They got a little upset. I don't know.
Changed it down
doesn't
to a
matter. 1. No. It was politics.
I put it out of my mind, obviously. Yeah. So
no, but we still get the credit for the one.
That's right.
Oh man. Hey, you know who? Speaking of listeners, you know who I talked to this week?
Mm-mm.
Remember Pete Super Swede?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember his name. I've never met him, but
I met him last year. It showed up on my Facebook timeline a year ago. And okay. A picture came up, me and him standing there with in a crowd, John. We were in a crowd.
Yeah. Remember the day? You see, boys and girls, back in my day.
Jen and I were watching. We were, culling the DVR and yeah. We're getting rid of old stuff. And she goes, oh, can I get rid of these Bruins games? And I was like, yeah. No, wait, don't.
No, they have people in the stands.
Exactly. I just want to go back for nostalgia.
They might be historical documents at some
exactly.
point.
Exactly. I think one of the games I'm in the stands.
There you go.
So I'm like, all right, that's me. See grandchildren. I used to go to these things.
Right. I used to go places.
but yeah, no. So I had contacted Dr. Joe, who's friends with Pete. I got his number a while ago and, I texted him and we had a nice conversation. He's doing well. He got off of Twitter a while back. He said goodbye to me on Twitter. He DM'd me and he's like, I can't take this anymore.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
I concur. I concur, Pete.
I agree. And, but yeah, so he's doing well. His family's doing well. He's a stay at home dad. He was home anyways. And now with the virus and stuff, he's a stay at home dad having a blast and, he's doing well, so glad to hear from him. Glad to hear he's doing well. So that was nice.
Yeah, good deal.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. What do you got? I got a few other things too.
Well, I do too, and hopefully I'm not stealing this from you.
Doesn't matter. It's a conversation.
According to CBR, who are well respected journalists known for their hard hitting headlines and news. According to CBR, in an article last week. DC Comics plans to be a large presence at DC Fandome this week. So
you like that, huh?
I did like that. I stole that from you, but I wanted to beat you to the punch.
I sent you that with the highlight, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So this CBR, come on, people. They don't know what they're talking. I mean,
yeah. It's like, okay, really?
Writing that out. I'd be impressed if it was Marvel was going to be a big presence there.
Exactly.
DC is going to be a big presence. At
not only are they a big presence, they're the only presence. So it's hard to be bigger than that. Yeah, you sent me that text Twitter. I don't remember, but I was like, oh my God, that's great. So I said, I'm going to put that in the news this week.
Yeah. Breaking news. DC will be a DC Fandome.
So speaking of Fandome though, what do you think about the format of that? Like, I can't believe they're doing like a 24 hour stream. Like, who's got 24 hours to sit still and watch all of Fandome?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be recorded.
Well,
so
it'll
you
be
can
recorded.
Come back to it. It's like a long podcast. So
sure
you'll be
you
able
can,
to come back whenever you want. So you got, these,
yeah, but
you know, you'll take
to
the
me,
week.
It's like 24 hours straight. It's like, you know, do the San Diego Comic-Con thing and do like 3 8-hour days or whatever. It's like, it just seems silly to me to do a 24 hour stream that most people aren't going to like hunker down for the whole thing.
Some people so, will.
Seems
I don't think
silly.
They'll sit there for 24, but they'll put it on, they'll stop it, and they'll come back to it.
Yeah.
You know, you just, it's just like any of the Joe Rogan 3-hour podcasts. You listen to what you can, then you get out of the car and come back to it the next day.
That's going to be pretty interesting, though. I'm curious to see if any announcements come out of that, you know, pertaining to the fallout and the stuff that we just talked about, because.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what kind of plans they're announcing, or if half the stuff they had planned to announce doesn't exist anymore because everybody got fired. So be pretty
well,
interested to see what those panels look like.
Yeah, I have a feeling that at the 23 hour and 55 minute mark we will get the trailer for the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, well, like, and I think they
the
I don't
entire
remember
thing is
exactly
based around that.
I don't remember exactly what day of the week the 22nd is, but I think it's planned to have the 24th hour end at about 4 p.m. on a Friday, so they could drop some kind of earth-shaking bomb on us and then be out.
Yeah, the 22nd's so. It's August, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 22nd's a Saturday.
Oh, it's a Saturday. Okay, so yeah. My theory is...
Still the same idea, bad. But yeah.
Same idea.
24 hours on a weekend, that's not a big deal. People, yeah. you'll finish it. You'll have it done by Saturday night. You'll take a few hours off to sleep and you come right back.
Maybe. I didn't watch one single second of San Diego Comic-Con. I might not watch any of this one either.
What really happened there? Nothing.
Well, that's the thing. What's going to happen at this one? They can't make any announcements. Like we were joking about the San Diego one. It's like all you can do is announce the stuff that you announced last year.
But like
it
you
still
said,
hasn't come out yet.
I wonder with the layoffs and there's a lot of uncertainty right now. I wonder if they'll be talking about what we just said, like the books and
maybe
streamlining
some to some new people too. I don't know.
Exactly.
We'll see.
I'm hoping. Look at. I don't think that they just laid off a bunch of people and went, oh crap, we have Fandom coming up.
No, I'm
you
sure
know,
they.
This has all been calculated and planned.
Yeah, I'm sure
and it's
they
like,
knew
here
that was
comes
coming, but...
the layoffs, and people get this out of the way a few weeks in advance, and now we'll build up excitement for whoever they're bringing on board or whatever's coming in the future. And the Snyder Cut is the big deal. And
yeah, that'll be the end of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the. You know, that's the cherry on top at the end of the entire thing. So, I mean, that's what everybody's looking forward to. I think, you know, like everybody else, everybody will be looking at their Twitter to see what's going on. And then you'll tune in if you see something pop up. Right. But it's, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I can't say I'm going to be sitting in front of my screen staring at it for 24 hours, but I'll be popping in and out, see what I can find out.
You know, I mean, I'll run it at the store while I'm there. You know, I'll have
that's where it'll be fun.
So, yeah.
In a comic book store.
Yeah. It'll be playing during the day on Saturday for, you know, the 8 or 9 hours that we're there. And, you know, a chunk of it.
You should run like a DC party and make everybody sign up on the Thursday before.
I should, but we can't have anybody come, so. Nobody can come and be there, so let's do that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, what else? Did you see the New Mutants announcement?
Well, I saw that we have a firm date, supposedly, but I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, what is the date on it, like the 27th?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it, I hope so, but I'm a little skeptical.
Why?
Just because nothing.
Because it's only been about 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, you know what could be the reason? I don't know.
Yeah,
we've had firm dates 4 times on Tenet.
August 28th. Sorry, yeah. It was August 28th. IMAX exclusive artwork. But where? I mean, it's
I don't know. My IMAX isn't open, so
I have no theaters open around me.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it might open somewhere, but it's not going to be a wide release because. A lot of places aren't open yet still.
It's going to be crazy tracking money for these things.
Yeah.
What they're going to, how they're going to, you know, I don't know. Because, and I think they're just getting, it's about time they're just going to get them into the theaters and then that way they can just put it out to streaming.
Well, they have to, yeah. Because they have to get it out to streaming at a certain point because that's where they're going to start to recoup some of their money. You know, of all movies, you know, their Mulan, which is, you know, supposed to be their billion-dollar movie, they're going straight to streaming, but something like New Mutants, which will be lucky to do, you know, $150, $200 million, you know, they're doing a theatrical release. So I don't really understand the reasoning there. Of all movies, that one should have got the $20 rental and...
Well, Mulan is going into theaters, too. It's getting
like
a theatrical release, but.
Yeah, especially overseas.
Yeah.
In Asia, it's going to get one, which, you know, a lot of those markets have opened back up. So it'll do huge money over there, theatrically. But, you know, it's going to lose a big chunk here that it's not going to do. So we'll see.
Yep.
Again, it'll be interesting. Like we said last week, a lot of eyes in a lot of studios are going to be watching. Closely how that thing does, and so they can base their decisions going forward on what they're going to do. So
Yep. Yep. We got a tweet from, well, what is this? OM activating 6 feet away from you at Mike Meyer brunch. Okay. On Twitter at Brightside Chat. Really enjoying the podcast. Keep up the good work.
Awesome.
You're more than welcome. And
thank
we
you.
Will do yep. our best. We will do our best. What else do you got there? Let me see.
Really quickly, Hulu announced a premiere date for the Animaniacs, which some of us are more excited about than others, but I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, you used to love
them. November 20th. Yeah, I love the Animaniacs. I thought they were great. So I'm looking forward. I just did a rewatch of them a year ago or so when they came on Hulu. So yeah, I love the Animaniacs, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that, like, I was really looking forward to the Looney Tunes coming back to HBO Max, and they're terrible. So
why?
What do you mean? Not good. They're not funny. Like, they're just terrible cartoons.
They don't hold up?
No, they don't. Well, no, they're new.
Oh, new.
Yeah, they're new.
The old ones.
They're new Looney Tunes. No, the old ones are still great, but they won't play half of them because they are not politically correct anymore. But
right, Elmer Fudd has a gun.
Yeah, but the new ones are terrible. So hopefully the it's so hard to go back and recapture the magic of anything that was good in its time.
Well, but, especially when you try to make it politically correct.
Right, but I think with the Animaniacs, you know, it's the same a lot of the same people involved, so I have higher hopes for it. But
yeah.
I'm just hoping that it's better, like I said, that it's better. Because I was really looking forward to the new Looney Tunes cartoons, and I watched like two of them, and they were horrible. I haven't even watched the rest of them. So hopefully these are better. But yeah, November 20th, we'll get that.
Cool. So. Got another tweet this week from Pachamama Has a Posse at SOS The Rope. So
I love these Twitter handles.
I know, huh? He or she, I know, because Pachamama, I don't know. So they wrote, "You two dudes sound way younger than you pretend to be on this episode."
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, it's like, what were we pretending to be? We're pretending to be 50.
Yeah, I know.
And I wish I was pretending, but I actually am 50.
I know. I'm like, so. You sound way younger than you pretend to be. Okay.
I guess they think we're pretending to be old men.
I know.
Like, I don't know where's the entertainment value in that, but.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah, I saw that tweet. I was like, well, that's great. At least my voice sounds young. So. It's my youthful exuberance on Twitter. I mean, on the podcast that.
Yes. Your youthful exuberance. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Dr. Joe nailed you on that one last week.
He did.
That was great.
That sounded bad, but.
That was... No, it didn't. He nailed it.
Yeah, I don't even want to touch that. But...
Back to your 10-foot pole again?
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, did you see The Witcher's getting back? They came back today.
Oh, yeah, back
today
in the production.
Being Wednesday, so yesterday as this comes out.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I know a few shows are starting to go back.
I was making sure it was real, and it was actually tweeted out by The Witcher.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Season 2 finally resumed production today.
So maybe
that's pretty cool.
2.5 years, because we already weren't getting it back until 2021, so now it's probably going to be 2023 by the time we get it. But
it could still, I mean, if they've resumed production, probably late 2021 still, would say.
Hope so.
I mean, it's still over a year away.
Yeah.
Remember 17 months, John.
Yes, right. Anywhere between 5 and 17 months. Where's my t-shirt? I was still waiting for my t-shirt.
Jeez. Hey, I have a couple of rumors here that I got from Comic Talk today that I really liked. I'll save the last one because I wanted to talk about it. But did X-Men and Shia LaBeouf playing Iceman?
I saw
did
that
you
rumor.
See that?
Yeah, I saw the rumor.
I think he'd be good.
He'd be fine. You know, he's a little wacky in real life, but I think he's a good actor. I've liked him.
Clearly, an older Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I guess, would be my only concern is that, you know, he's not a teenager anymore. So,
no. I don't think he looks that old, but I don't think he's that young either.
No.
You know.
Definitely, you know, like I said, definitely is not a teenager, but it would be a direction for sure.
Yeah.
Depends on what they want to do with the rest of the cast, you know. But I could see him being like an older mentor to a younger group of mutants. But I don't know if that's how they want to introduce the X-Men. Like, to me, I think Disney would want to introduce the X-Men with their core team, not like Bobby being an old mentor to a bunch of fresh young kids that we've never met before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I like him, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know where the rumor comes from. I mean, it's.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And there was another one, Stranger Things, ending with a movie after season four. So instead of doing a fifth season, they're going to do a movie, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
I would actually prefer that because I, you know, quick, painless. I'm not as big a Stranger Things.
Well, yeah, I would say I don't consider it painful necessarily. But what do we've had three already, right? So the upcoming season is the fourth season.
Yep.
To me, the only thing I would have to add to that is, like, if you need two more hours to wrap up the story, why isn't season four just two episodes longer? Like, I'm not
Maybe
quite sure.
Maybe they want to cash in.
Right, I guess they just want another bite at the apple a year later.
At the box office, maybe?
Yeah.
Or do they do a movie on Netflix?
Oh, office movie or a Netflix movie?
I don't know.
I thought immediately Netflix movie. But yeah, maybe to do a box office movie, you know, there's a whole bunch of money that you can get from that. And as far as I know, Netflix has never done an original theatrical release.
No.
So it would be interesting to see them go that route. Again, my mind immediately went to just a Netflix movie. And like I said, to that I would say just make your season 2 hours longer and end it.
Two episodes longer and there you go.
Right.
The last rumor, I've actually been thinking of this one since the talk came up, but Spider-Man 3 is rumored to have Joel Kinnaman type play Kraven, the Hunter.
And I don't know who Joel Kinnaman is.
He's from in Suicide Squad. Is he
Flag?
Flag, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. Oh, I like he was on Altered Carbon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Altered
like
Carbon as well.
Yeah.
I like him too, but
I don't know if I see him as Kraven though.
Me neither. He's not big enough. And you know who I was. And it's funny that this rumor came out because I think it was Comic Talk Today from today. And it's funny this came up because you know who I've been thinking about and I wanted to bring up this week.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah. A little old.
Well, Kraven could be old in the comics. He's old with a grown son. So.
You know, yeah. You know who I want though? The Rock.
Oh, come on, man.
He's like, huge. He would be awesome.
You know, I mean, I would love to see that guy get some work because I don't know if he gets enough, but.
But no, I think.
I mean, he is huge, you know.
And he could play the Kraven too. I think with a lot of his roles that he's done so far have been like comedic roles almost.
Yeah.
What if he did like the Kraven? Kraven the Hunter, and he had the scowl because he can do that eyebrow thing, and he does, but don't do it in a comedic way. I think it would, and I don't think it would be a stretch for him.
Black Adam, you know.
I know.
I mean, I don't know if. I mean, obviously, you know, they can cross the streams if they want. Yeah, if they want to, but yeah. I mean, he'd be fine. I like The Rock, but I'd like to see somebody that not The Rock do a movie. Cause, you know, I think I don't remember who we were talking about recently that had,
I've heard
like
a lot of
six
Jason
movies
Momoa,
in a year.
He looks like
who,
him because he's
who are we
got
talking
hair.
About that?
Oh, it's probably.
Oh, Nicolas Cage. Remember we were talking about Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
And he had like, you know, 17 movies a year. That's The Rock, man. Like every other commercial for a movie. When we used to have commercials for movies, were rock movies. Momoa would be, I think he'd be good too. You know, he's got the look, obviously, a little bit more than The Rock, but, you know, they could give him a wig. I don't want to see bald Kraven, so he would definitely have to have like the Scorpion King God hairdo or something.
Yeah.
I
thought he would be good.
I actually thought. of Tom Hardy. And, you know, he's probably like second down from The Rock in the list of guys that doesn't need to be
but
in more
tough
movies.
Because he's already Venom.
Yeah, he's already Venom. But I mean, I think Tom Hardy would be good.
It's one thing to cross streams. It's another thing to double stream.
Right. In the same. Right.
but wait, he's him.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be tough because at some point those universes are all going to merge. Well, actually, that's all Spider-Man
that's
anyway.
The same so, universe.
Yeah. Well, technically, no, because the Venom doesn't exist in Spider-Man's world yet until they figure out a way to.
And if they made that move, it would never exist.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see Kraven's Last Hunt done in a movie. But I don't know. Like, I just think of the way they ended the last Spider-Man movie, and the first thing that comes to my mind isn't, like, a battle with Kraven the Hunter. You know, because there's all kinds of stuff they have to work out based on the end of that last movie. So, I mean, I don't know where they're going, obviously, but...
Well, we do, John, but we're not telling anybody, remember?
That's true. That's true.
We got the memo.
We have the inside track on all of that.
We're really good at keeping secrets.
We are. Yes, we are.
All right. You got anything else?
No.
I do not. All right. You want to get to some books?
Sure.
All righty, John. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we're going to take a look at is Dark Knight's Death Metal number 3. Big cover here is the Federici variant that has Robin King on the cover. Robin King is the new hotness right now. That thing is selling for about $25. It's an open-to-order variant, so it shouldn't be super rare. But, you know, like I told people today who were asking me why I was out of it, he wasn't a thing when we did FOC, you know, it's not like we knew he was going to be hot.
Right.
So, you know, if we knew, we all would have ordered 100,000 copies of this, but we didn't. While it's not super rare, I think most stores are sold out today on it. So, if you could find one or if you were lucky enough to get one, that's definitely the one to have. The main cover selling for about $8. And the Art Germ and the Finch variants are selling for about $6 a piece. So all the covers are going over cover price right now. I think some of that is because of issue 2 having the Robin King first appearance. And, you know, that had a lot of heat on it.
Yeah.
So I think part of that carried over to this issue here. Next, also from DC, Mad Magazine number 15. This is selling for about $10. Don't know why. Honestly, I have no idea. but...
just reporting the news.
Yeah, just reporting the news. But that's twice cover price. So, Red Mother number 7 from Boom Comics. This one we're looking at the 1 in 10 variant. That's selling pretty steadily for $45. So that's way over ratio for a 1 in 10 variant. So definitely has a lot of heat there. Same thing. Something is Killing the Children. Also from Boom. The 1 in 25 variant here is selling for about $90. So. That's the, you know, the last issue was the same, and number 10, the 1 in 25 issue was already pre-selling for $75. So, these, for whatever reason, these 1 in 25 variants are super hot on, and that, actually the whole title, Something with Killing the Children, has, been selling out for.
Oh yeah. It's a great book.
Almost every issue. Yeah. It's a great book, but, continues to have a lot of interest. Surprising no one, there's a second printing that came out. That's worth money from Marvel. Strange Academy number 2.
Surprising no one that listens to this podcast.
Exactly. Selling for about $12. So, again, any Marvel second prints these days are just like printing money. You might as well order them and buy them. And then last but not least, Venom number 27. This is the first appearance of Codex. And this thing is selling like crazy. Both the main cover and the variant cover, the open-to-order variant, are selling for $15 a piece. There's a Funko variant that's selling for $50, and the 1 in 100 variant is selling for about $180. So only expect those to go up because, again, it's Donny Cates and it's Venom, and if you listen to us at all, you know Donny Cates has the Midas touch
Yep.
When it comes to comics.
I got my copies.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But...
yeah, but I got them. Yeah, and that's it for a speculator roundup.
All right. Let's do some back issue bonus.
All right. So from IDW, just a couple. Yeah, we have Kanto issue number one. We've talked about this book on and off a few times, but
yeah,
it's really seeing some demand now. First issue is selling for between $80 and $120, which seems crazy for a book because I just don't see that kind of demand for the series in my store. I only sell a few copies of every issue. I don't know where the like frenzy is on this book, but it's out there apparently because this one is nuts.
That's not that
it's
old,
only like
right?
a year.
Yeah, we talked
like a
about
year,
we
year
read
and a half
the first
ago.
Issue.
Yeah,
or we
and
read
I liked
the issues,
it,
but yeah,
I like the series, but I don't see what. Yeah, like, I really don't see what all the fuss is about. Another one we've talked about so many times, just keeps moving. Is Young Avengers number one. This is the first appearance of Kate Bishop. It just keeps like steadily. It's like the little engine that could. It just keeps trending up.
Yeah.
Right now it's solidly at $100, and some copies are pushing $150. So, and again with the announcement, the rumored announcement again of Kate Bishop being cast for Disney Plus, if we ever get that show on Disney Plus. It looks like regardless of who gets cast, it looks like we are going to get Kate Bishop in some form on that show.
Right.
And so again, this book is going to be a solid mover for a long time. And then, last but not least,
that would be weird if like Kate Bishop never showed up with,
all
the rumors seem to be around who's playing her, not whether she's in it or not.
Exactly. So whether it's Haley Steinfeld or somebody else,
right.
I mean, I believe it's going to be somebody.
Dwayne Johnson.
Exactly. It could be The Rock or Tom Hardy, but we'll see. I mean, he could play Mrs. Doubt, he could Mrs. Doubtfire that and, we'll see. and then last but not
Kate
least.
Kate Bishop with the nylons rolled down around her ankles.
Right. Can you smell what Kate is cooking? all right. And ultimately, from 2016, The Ultimates, issue number two.
Look at
See
you.
See what I did there?
Play on words there. You wordsmith, you.
That's right. I was a poet and I didn't know it. This is the first appearance of the Lifebringer Galactus. Again, I don't know. I don't know what's driving this at all. I have heard no rumors at all about Lifebringer Galactus in anything.
People just want you to say that.
Yeah, but it's selling for, regularly at $40. And hey, there's a scarce second printing that has sales breaking $100, last week. So apparently last week they realized it was scarce. It's definitely, again, this is definitely a book to keep your eye on though.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into FOC.
All right. From Dark Horse.
For Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. Whatever day of the week it is.
Just
At some point, every company is going to have a different day. We'll be doing FOC. And I have to say that this is the only the second week of DC having FOC on Sunday. And it already almost bit me. Like, I forgot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't work on Saturday this week. I took the weekend off. And so Sunday morning, well, actually about noon on Sunday, it hit me that I didn't do FOC for DC, and I had to go to the store and do it. So it was really inconvenient and kind of a hassle. But that's neither here nor there. Today we're talking
You'll
about
get
Dark
used
Horse.
To it.
Yeah.
Just when you get used to it, they'll bump it to, it'll be Labor Day and you'll have to do it on Thursday.
And if I had worked on Saturday at some point during the day, it would have clued into me, or I would have read the Facebook post from somebody complaining about it and I would have done it. But I didn't work and I didn't really go near social media, so it really went right out of my head.
Yeah.
From Dark Horse, we have Bill and Ted Are Doomed. This is issue number one of four. And there's multiple covers for that. From DC, we have variant covers for Detective Comics number 1027. This is an anniversary issue, and there's, I think, 12 covers total for this.
Wow.
If you want to see them, actually, when I put this together, the covers weren't all available, but later this afternoon, DC sent them out, and I do have a post on my Facebook page with all 12 covers.
So there's it's 12 really covers, ones. Not 10?
There's 12, yeah.
Okay, because you have 10 in the notes.
Yeah, I was just guessing when I wrote it, and then when I got the, you know, I got all the pictures, it was, excuse me, there's 12 covers.
Cool.
And there's some really nice ones there, so, you know, go through the list, pick out the one you want. You're going to want this issue. It's $9.99. It's like 145 pages. It's bigger than, you know, most of their other anniversary issues that they've done. Obviously, 1027 is the 1,000th appearance of Batman in Detective Comics. So it's a pretty big deal.
Wow. Yep.
All right. Next we have Nightwing number 74. This has a cover by Alan Kwa. I really like that one. I have
it is
picked,
nice.
Yeah, I have it picked as one of my two for the week. And then Wonder Woman 762, which is my second pick, Joshua Middleton. Both of those covers are really nice.
Yeah. I like the Nightwing, although I do have to say
that now that I've seen all the detective covers, there's a couple of those that would give it a run, you know, would give some of these a run because there's some really good covers. As far as new series from DC, it's really just a one shot. It's Death Metal Trinity Crisis. Just another tie in to Death Metal. So if you're buying Death Metal, I'm sure you're going to pick this one up. Looks like there's only one cover. All right. This is actually no longer, relevant news. From IDW, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin has now been pushed. Yeah, I got an email or a Facebook post from IDW today, actually, that the creative team for this book has changed, and the new FOC is October 5th, I believe, to release on like the 28th of October. So this thing's coming now later than we were expecting it. So
the FOC was for Monday.
It was for Monday,
which was supposed to be like in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So they're still working on the book?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happened with the creative team. They're actually, you know, we got that little teaser that I shared with you.
Yeah.
They're working on a new teaser with the new art team. Like, it's basically
a whole new series. So what, Eastman and Laird not in on it now?
Eastman's involved still. I can't remember. I didn't save the post.
They start fighting again.
I don't know. Who knows?
Can't we all just get along? I'm looking. Yeah.
I know a lot of people have really been looking forward to that one. And like I said, when I wrote these notes,
this is about me.
That's true. When I wrote these notes at like 3 o'clock, that was still relevant news. But around 5:30, around 5:30 or 6, they put that post up. So
that's too bad.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on to Marvel. We have variant covers for Star Wars number 6. This is the Empire Strikes Back variants from Chris Sprouse. I really like this cover a lot. It's the Han and Leia kiss from the Millennium Falcon there in Empire, so it's a pretty good cover. And then I think, well, all but one of these are just one-shots from Marvel, but we have the Empire Aftermath Avengers with multiple covers and Empire Fallout Fantastic Four with multiple covers. We have The Rise of Ultraman. This is issue number 1 of 5. I don't know if you remember Ultraman from when we were kids.
Yep.
But I'm really kind of looking forward to this because I think I used to like, you know, I remember liking that show when I was a kid. But,
yeah,
like, I don't know because it's been a long time.
Right.
But anyway, so that's coming out with multiple covers. And then last but not least from Marvel, Web of Venom Wraith number 1. With multiple covers. And then to finish it up from Vault Comics, we have Heavy, issue number 1, and there's multiple covers for that. And that's it for FOC.
Alrighty. Let's get to checkout. And, well, we're going to go heavy with some DC talk when we're done with these two, but I read both of these as well, so.
Okay. So the first book I read was from Image Comics. It's Big Girls number 1. This was not what I expected at all. Like, I don't know what I thought Big Girls meant when this was coming out.
No, but it wasn't, I agree.
I wasn't picturing what we got.
Nope.
So this is yet another take on a post-apocalyptic future in which we have some kind of event where we've devastated a lot of humanity and society.
Apparently reproduction.
Yeah, apparently, like, if you want to get a comic book published these days, the template is figure out what your post-apocalyptic world is going to look like and then write your book. Because this is, at this point, the most overused trope in comics. But with that being said, this book had some different and interesting things going on. You know, everybody's living in the one remaining sanctuary city that's left, of humanity. But the event that took place that destroyed society apparently alters, the genes of certain people when they're born. And if you're
don't
a
know,
male,
it's like a bad lottery.
Right, right. If you're a male and you're born with this gene, apparently you evolve into some kind of monster that, you know, wants to destroy the city. If you're a female, you have the opportunity to not have this gene, but you grow to like 300 feet tall.
Right.
So like that first page where you flip this book and you realize that this woman is like 300 feet tall, it was a little jarring. Because I just didn't expect it. Like, I didn't realize big girls was literal. When I read this. But all that being said, I had a lot of fun with this book. I actually really liked it.
I really liked it too.
Yeah. I liked the art a lot. You know, it was stylized, so it's not like your traditional art, but I really liked it. I thought it fit. I'm sorry. Let me back up and say that this was written and drawn by Jason Howard. So all done by the same guy. I read the afterword that he put at the end of the book, and like he's already, finished issue 6 and is working on issue 7. So, you know, we're going to get this for a little while.
They're not going to get a new creative team and push back.
Yeah. Yeah. This was just a lot of fun. Like I really enjoyed this book. It was very surprising. And
it was sad. It was surprising. It pulls on all, you know, it was fun. It was funny. It was sad.
It had humor.
It had action.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was really, what a surprise.
Yeah. Really well
done.
It was. Yeah. Really well done. And like I said, maybe it was in a synopsis that I should have read ahead of time, but I didn't.
I don't think you would get that. I've read the synopsises since that, and you can't comprehend it.
Well, it says right here in the synopsis that was published on Diamond, she's a 300-foot-tall full-time monster killer. So I guess if I would have read that ahead of time, I would have known what big girls meant.
No, but I meant, like, the story.
Yeah.
Like, you really can't grasp the story until you read it and see the ramifications of what's going on. And like I said, there's some sad parts, some shocking parts.
Yep.
But it is. It's a very good story. It's
super fun.
Quite original.
Yeah, like I said, really, you know, really original. Again, as much as we talk about the post-apocalyptic setting, which
is
done a lot.
Until you said that, I didn't even think post-apocalyptic.
This is very different. So this is how you do it. This is how you take something that's kind of tired and make it fun. And I really, like I said, I can't say it enough. I really enjoyed this book. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, I read this one as well.
All right, so second book I read from Boom Studios, Seven Secrets, number 1. This was written by Tom Taylor, and it had art by Danielle DiNicolo. I like this one more, actually. This was another, I thought, really good book. You know, right as it says in the title, there's seven secrets that are, you don't really know what they are. But there's an organization whose job it is to protect the secrets. And it looks like there's a team of 2 people that are each tasked with guarding one of the secrets. And I don't believe they know what the other 6 are. Like, I don't know who knows what all 7 secrets are, because they're kind of kept, it seems like they're kept segregated. I guess the Order, who is like the main body, probably knows all the secrets. But yeah, they have keepers and holders, which are the teams, and they guard the secrets, And I guess they're kept in briefcases that they keep on them at all times.
I wasn't even sure if they knew themselves.
They might not even know.
They just keep the briefcase.
Right. Might not even know themselves. And so obviously when you have these secrets and you have people that are, whose job it is to protect them, you have a whole bunch of other people whose job it is to try to steal them and learn them. So that, I mean, that's kind of what's going on here. You know, you've got the Order whose job it is to protect them. And then you've got, you know, everybody else that's trying to get them. And we focus basically on a team of two.
There's a huge backstory here.
Can't remember the lady's name. But they're two of the keepers who have a romantic relationship. And not to give too much away, but she gets pregnant. And apparently that's a no-no. Like, nothing in your life can take away any focus from your job of being the keepers of these secrets. Like, there can't be anything in your life that puts those in peril. Right. So obviously having a child.
It's one of the rules of being a secret keeper is that you can't have a relationship, you can't have a child.
And you can't have children.
And they end up doing both. And so it's part of the story. We're not really giving much away there.
No, and I don't want to give any more of it away. Obviously they come into some trouble because of the pregnancy.
There's multiple stories in this book that are really, everything is intriguing. Yeah. Everything leaves you hanging at the end of the book. And I thought the art was really good.
Yeah, I like the art a lot. Like I said, I like the writing. Tom Taylor has done a lot of work for DC and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And I like his work. I think he does Deceased, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I like his writing. And obviously this is creator-owned work. A lot of fun, very interesting book. Very different in tone from Big Girls, but I think I like this one more. It's unusual that lately we haven't had two books that we kind of really like both of them. At least I don't. I've been let down recently by a lot of books, but I enjoyed.
I think last week we didn't have a book we liked.
Yeah, we didn't. But I really enjoyed both of these today, and I recommend both of them. I think you should pick up both of these books.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both really, really good. I finished Undone by Blood.
Okay.
Today. I read it. It wrapped up a little quickly, but there is going to be more. There's a little ending, note at the end that they're going to continue the story later on. I won't give that away, but I really liked that arc. That was a really
good. Yeah, I still haven't read that one. Now that it's finished, I'll probably put it together and read it.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 came out today. I finished that today. But getting into our DC stuff.
Yeah.
So first off, that, speaking of Tom Taylor, Deceased.
I haven't read it yet. So don't talk.
Dead Planet.
Don't tell me about it. Yeah. I haven't read DC. I haven't got to that yet. Okay.
Okay, in comparison to the heavy metal, I'm not liking that.
Yeah, I have read all the Joker War stuff with the exception of what came out today, and I've read all the metal stuff again with the exception of number 3 that came out today.
Yeah,
I have not liked metal as much as I liked the first Dark Knight's metal.
Right. Metal to me was like, I was like, and I was, again, I was talking to Ernie about it this morning. I'm like, I really didn't like it. And I read that I was excited for it because it's got the shiny colors, but the deceased, Dead Planet, so much better.
Yeah.
It's so much better. There's such the humor in there. I love the art in there. It's just fun. It's just it's the way that these books should be. Like, to me, it's like, that's like DC's Dead Planet is like, it's your quintessential comic book. You know, it's like being a kid again. And it's like, this was fun. But, the metal, I'm just not getting into it. I'm trying, but
yeah,
and that's the thing. I didn't read 3 because I was like,
Deceased is on my list next to read, as far as the events go. Yeah, like I said, so metal hasn't been great. Like, my 6 or 7 weeks off, I didn't miss anything when it comes to metal. I don't know if you got to read the Legends one that came out last week, the big hot book that Not, you know, everybody was going crazy about.
I have
about.
It, but again, I'm not all excited about it.
I mean,
so.
Super stupid. Like, I can't even talk about how dumb it was. Like, you know, it's Legends, so it's like kind of like the backstories of seven different types of Batman that we're going to see in this series. You know, because in the first series, we got, yeah, like the cool Justice League Bat, you know, we got the Red Death, and we got the Aquaman Batman, and we got the Wonder Woman Batman, you know, and the Batman Who Laughs, and they were all awesome. And then we follow it up this year with, like, I'm a car Batman, and, like, I'm a dinosaur Batman, and I'm a baby, I'm a newborn baby Batman. And it's like, I was reading this, and I was like, this is the stupidest
language,
I'm sorry, that I've ever read in my life. Like, it is so bad. I can't even believe that this was a book. I can't talk about how stupid it was. So that was really a letdown. What has not been a letdown at all, though, is Joker War. Like, that is fantastic. Like, I really have enjoyed all of that. I read all the lead-up issues with Nightwing and Detective, and read all the Joker War stuff and Batman. I think Punchline is a great character. She's a lot of fun. I mean, she hasn't done a ton of stuff yet, but, you know, she's a really fun character. All of this stuff that's going on with Joker and Batman and, you know, the takeover of Wayne Enterprises and all that stuff. Sorry, spoilers, but, I mean, these issues are...
These are old. We're old to it.
7 weeks old now, so...
Right.
If you haven't read them now, maybe you were on a boycott like me, but get over it, because I did. but, yeah, I mean, those books have been great. Like, I've really enjoyed those, so...
So, you want to know... I'm enjoying those books so much. I'm buying them. Get this. I'm still buying my physical copies, but I'm buying the digital copies so that I can read them the day before. Cause I go in on Wednesday to pick up my books. Right.
You want
to
read them on Tuesday,
but I want to get them. I could get them Monday night at midnight and be like, be able to read them. Those books are so good. That Batman books, that entire Joker War story. And like you said, Punchline is, I didn't think you could invent a character like this, but it's not like she's the greatest character ever,
but she's fun. Much,
she's like Harley, but she's like the exact opposite.
Right.
Like she
does Harley, she's, like when Harley was Harley in the beginning, you know, and I think Harley even says that to her. She's like, oh, you're the new me. Until you've been beat down a couple dozen times, you know?
Right, but I even like that they leaned into that. Like, because everybody was saying that before the book comes out, they're like, oh, they're just inventing a new Harley. And then Harley comes out and says that.
Right.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
It's such a good story, such good writing. And it's like, I'm looking forward to every book.
Yeah, I know, because I'm really looking forward to reading today's Detective, too.
I haven't caught up on Detective yet.
But I mean, and they're not all necessary. You know, like you said, the tie-in issues aren't necessary to the main story, really. But they've all been somewhat – like that – I'll tell you which one was a great issue was Batgirl, I think, 47. The one we talked about briefly with, like the Killing Joke cover, kind of, you know, the reminiscent Killing Joke cover.
Yeah.
That was a great issue, with her and the Joker. Really, really good. So, I mean, and again, if you missed that, it's not going to affect you reading Joker War, but it was definitely a great read and it does tie in. So, I mean, they all have, you know, small tie-ins to the story, but. You know, like any crossover, if you miss them, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
But I wouldn't miss that Batgirl book. Like, I think by itself it was.
You got to send me all the other ones. I want to read. I don't want to miss anything.
Oh, I'll send you the
like War of the Realms. Send me.
Well, like I had to pick because I hadn't read them either. They were all just piled up, so I had to pull up a reading order on Google so I knew which ones to read.
Oh, cool.
So I read them all. Yeah, I read them all according to that reading order.
Send me that, and I'll tweet it out, too.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it afterwards. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you read Strange Adventures?
No, not yet.
Oh.
Not yet.
So good. That was the other one that I couldn't wait to talk about. That one is really good. I love the writing in that. And this isn't a spoiler. It's in, I think it's book 3, but... You know when something happens in a story and you go, like, you pull a John, you'll see something and go, how is that happening?
Yeah.
And then later in the book, they answer it. And it was so cool because they, it's like, and I was talking to, again, talking to Ernie about it this morning. And I was like, he knew exactly what I was talking about, but I was like, it's so cool that they answer what they know everybody's thinking at the beginning.
Yeah.
And but the overall story itself, I'm really, really enjoying the mix because Batman's in there, Superman's in there. Also, Mr. Terrific is in the investigator here. It's such a good story. And it very, very intriguing on what's going on, and it's really, really good.
Speaking of, like, not knowing how things could happen, like you mentioned. so I read Dark Knight's Metal 2, which was the first appearance in a cameo form of the Robin King. And they give, like, a little brief origin in that story of, like, where the Robin King comes from.
Oh, okay, right? Yeah.
You read that, right?
I don't know if I read that one.
Okay, well, anyways, they give a little description and origin of the Robin King. And then the next book I read was that Legends, you know, Legends of the Dark Knight. And the very first character they introduce is the origin of the Robin King. And it is so completely different from the origin that saw in Dark Knight's Metal 2 that they couldn't have been written by the same person. And I was like, wait a minute, that is not what I just read literally one book ago. It was the book I just finished reading before I read this one. They were so different, and I was thinking, how can this be? Like, I don't even know how this could be happening.
They don't have continuity throughout. Yeah.
So maybe I missed something, and somebody smarter than me will correct us in the comments, but I was like, these don't match up at all. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And then speaking of, not to give spoilers on this series, because it is a little bit newer than some of the Joker War stuff, but the best thing to come out of this book so far is the transformation of the Batman Who Laughs. And if you haven't gotten there yet, you'll know what I'm talking about when it happens. But the transformation gets rid of the goddamn black boxes with red letters.
Yes.
But nothing could make me happier.
I even thought the black boxes with the red letters were better done in this series.
I don't know. I still struggled to read
but
them,
it
to
wasn't
be
as bad
you.
As because it was black on red.
Yeah.
And
it is
they
just
let
so
the
miserable
white
to read
through
those,
a little bit. Their,
to read those
their,
pages. Yeah.
Their registration was off a little bit so you could see the white, which I think they did purposely so that you could read it. Wasn't black on or red on gray, which was that was the one we complained about like a year ago.
Yeah, I just think it's like that was the best thing to come out of that series so far. It looks like that's probably gone for good.
Yeah,
not to spoil anything for those that haven't read it, but and that whole thing was pretty weird too. Like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but
yeah,
I didn't really see that coming either, but it was interesting. So, we'll see.
I read Firepower 2.
I haven't got there yet either.
Okay. That one was good. I like that series. And in Star Wars number 5.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
I haven't read that either. I'm way behind on my reading. Like, I read those events from DC to get caught up, and then I just went back to my normal, like, alphabetical order reading list. So I read Aquaman. I read Bad Mother, which I liked, you know, from AWA. I thought that was decent. Like you, I'm not quite sure where that story's going, but I thought it was pretty good.
It's good, but you don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
But it's still... But again, it's AWA, so it's like, it's not a bad book.
Right.
But again, it was. All right, quickly, real world, what do we got going on?
Let's see, what did I watch this week? I watched, I finished watching Brave New World from Peacock. I don't think I was done with that last week when we talked.
We started it.
Yeah, you like it?
I do. Jen's not crazy about it.
Yeah, I like it.
But she's going to stick with it for a little bit, see if it gets better. But, she wasn't crazy about it. I thought you had already finished it.
Maybe I did finish it because it's only six episodes.
Yeah, you told me
episodes.
Last week you blasted through
that. And then we watched Capture.
Did you finish that?
Finished that, yeah. That
With
was also
three
only
episodes in, and I thought that was, I think it's excellent so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, that was only six episodes also. Right. Yeah, that was fantastic. I really liked that show.
Yeah. Every scary. Episode like is like really, on the edge of your seat. Yeah,
yeah, and it's really scary to think that that stuff is probably really going on.
Real world
to some
implications
degree.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really good. Shoot, I know we watched something else, but nothing's coming to mind.
You know what I started? Transformers, War for Cybertron.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah.
I started that, and it was actually pretty good.
Is it?
The animation isn't. Like, it takes a little getting used to, but once you get into the story, it's actually a pretty decent story.
Okay.
So, it was definitely worth a watch. 20-minute episodes, so.
Yeah. I remember now. We watched Stargirl.
Yeah,
I blasted through the whole season of Stargirl. We had caught up with all of it before the finale, you know, on Monday, so then we watched.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, we watched the
good
finale
season?
On Monday. Yeah, really
I'm
good.
About, I'm a little over halfway through.
Yeah, you know, better than I expected. It really had some. I was a little worried when they started to introduce the JSA characters, but I actually really liked all of them. And yeah, the season finale was kind of a bloodbath, man. It's definitely not CW material. So I'm a little worried about this show now moving to CW next season because I don't want it to get CW-ized, you know? I kind of liked it. I mean, some of it was CW. Like, she's a little hokey at times, you know, and it had that CW feel. But in some cases, like, some of the battles and some of the things with the villains were a little bit more intense than what you usually get on there. So, yeah, I don't know. It was pretty good overall. We enjoyed it. I watched one more episode of Harley. I didn't get to the rest, so I still have three left of Harley. So
I'm same here.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
I'm kind of savoring that one because I only have three left. On
yeah, same. I've got three left. That last one was really good, though. We say goodbye to Saul or whatever his name is. But that was a pretty good episode. But yeah, I'll get back to it and watch the other three soon.
Yep.
But yeah, that was my week this week. So
cool. Same here, pretty much. Sounds like we basically all
watch
the
same stuff.
Things.
Yeah, we're in different stages of the Peacock shows. And
yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is that it for this week?
Yeah, I think so.
All righty. What are you guys doing out there? You can tweet at us at @brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. I will forward all messages to John.
Yep.
Check us out at the Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. And like earlier, thank you for the review and Gotham Knight and rate, review, and subscribe. We really appreciate 5 stars. Would be great. Thank you.
Yep. Sounds good.
And I think that's it for this week. We have on Monday, I don't even have to tell you the movie. I don't have to say anything. It is going to be
groundbreaking.
The biggest Bright Side Chat ever.
Historic, even.
Historic event on Monday. The biggest Bright Side Chat. You do not want to miss Monday's show. The biggest Bright Side Chat show ever. Can't wait.
Yep.
You
can, I almost can't
can
wait
hear
the 10 minutes.
Enthusiasm
I can't
in John's
wait
voice.
The 10 minutes it's going to take for us to start doing it.
Oh, John, you're ruining the illusion, my friend.
I know.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Right.
All right, everybody. That's it. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.